Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello friends, it's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, I'm actually flying solo tonight in a strange turn of events, which I'll cover more later. But in the meantime, please do follow us on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, please do follow us on Instagram, lots of good stuff there, and also we are on Facebook. But why am I here in the dungeon alone? Well, it's because yesterday we went to Monaco. In fact, not only did we go to Monaco, we went to Marseille, went to Rome, and many other cities in between. And then we did some interviews. Now, not all the interviews came out quite right, and we also forgot to do some links. And, you know, we forgot to do things that most professionals do when they are professionals. Sadly, we're not professionals. So we're going to do it again this evening. And I say I'm on my own. I'm not really, because I'll be joined by the best sevens player in the world, the best referee in the world, the best Irish number eight of South African heritage in the world, the best rugby-playing doctor in the world, the most talented young emerging player in the world. But before we do any of that, I'm joined by Doddy Weir. So, enjoy it.
Doddy, congratulations on the award for character, something you've shown inspirational amounts of, but this room, there's a whole lot of characters. Who have you enjoyed catching up with?
Well, a lot of the old boys, but Keith Wood in particular, a great guy. Met him on the 97 Lions tour, and he's got abundance of character. Absolute tremendous guy on the field, off the field, exactly the same. So we bonded very well from day one, and it's lovely to catch up with him and his good lady Nicola as well.
Who would have been last to bed out of the pair of you and Keith Wood?
Well, I think they might be, I was going to say in bed together, but that's not what I'm saying. That means there's no winners. So I think we'll be there joining ourselves at the end. There's no winners between us. We go right to the end. We enjoy every party right to the end. We never have a bad party. And Woody was just tremendous on that tour. And we've been friends ever since, which is great. And this night here, we've not seen him for a wee while. So tonight will be a great night trying to catch up.
Yeah, the nostalgia on nights like this must be amazing. So who else have you shared a moment with tonight?
Well, we just met the bod here. We met him out about John Smith. I'm teaching Sean Maitland as well, is here for a try of the year, so caught up with him obviously, so hopefully he has a bit of good time. And just Bill Bowman, John Jeffrey to name but a few. It's just packed with superstars and very privileged and honoured to be here, because I'm one of the old guard, so to be here and see all these guys is just quite amazing.
You're renowned for very, very fine suits. I imagine that you're inundated at the moment with offers to make more tartan suits.
Never enough. I always would love to do that, but we've got a support in scotlandshot.com who are absolutely fantastic. They build my suits because I'm not the average height. So this one in particular is quite special. It's the colours are blue for Scotland, the yellow and black are for a rugby team called Melrose, and the black and white in there as well for Newcastle. So these are the three teams that I used to
lovely.
Play with. So we commissioned this. It's an official tartan called the Doddy's Tartan. So with that, I try and theme all my suits in some way, shape or form, just for a better party. But I'm just a bit disappointed. It's not quite hit Monaco yet.
Well, next year, I will definitely be in Tottenham.
I'm sitting on the right table to try and change the face.
Well, yeah, we need to turn our brown tweed and tartan into blue and yellow, clearly. Just when you look back at the last couple of years, just the pride in what you've been able to achieve for motor neurone disease awareness, funds, research.
It's just been truly amazing, the journey we've been on, because the foundation, my name's Dolly Foundation, is really only just a year old. So we've already funded £1 million, and we look like we're going to pledge £1 million for the next year as well, which is truly unbelievable. And that wouldn't be possible without the rugby public, really, and the generosity and support they've shown us. And it's overwhelming. And I'm standing here and I say this because I might be fronting them, I may not be very well, but it's really got to do and dedicate this award to everyone behind the scenes who's helping me out. The Scottish Rugby Union have been so supportive. The Scottish Rugby players as well have been great. And there's everyone who's doing something for us. It's just been truly amazing. And with that, it gives me just a reason to get up in the morning to try and fight where we are, because people may not know it's a terminal issue. Basically, it shuts down your body, your muscle wastage, so eventually you can't walk, you can't use your hands, which means you can't eat yourself, you can't drink, you can't bathe yourself, you can't speak eventually, you can't swallow, and you can't breathe. So on the back of that, it's a pretty horrific long-term project where I am and anyone else with MND. So with that, the support has just been truly helpful to keep me where I am, and with that, there's no drugs in Britain at the moment that are there. There's just nothing. There's no drugs on the table to help us. So it's given me a bit of spirit, and also it's given a lot of other people with MND a great chance to say finally something's been done. So it's just been truly amazing.
You find yourself on the front line in the fight against this disease. What is the latest research? What is the foundation helping to fund?
Yeah, what we did, our first round of grants is going to gene therapy, to have a look at your makeup of your gene. If you've got a rogue gene, does that implement MND, to try and find where that is? And once you find that, then you've got to correct it as well. And the other one is repurchasing of drugs, because there's such strict rules in the UK and around the world that they can't just bring a new drug and it takes quite a long time. So what they're trying to do is find out, just say, cancer drugs, for example. Do they have effect of MND? And that takes a long time, because you've got to get stem cells and things put together off the issue, which is within the brain. So it's not an easy issue, but there's people bringing forward, and we've contributed to that to try and bring these two areas further into the open market, and hopefully going to try and help us and find a cure.
Well, Doddy, you said that you were privileged to be here, but we're privileged to have you part of the rugby family. Thanks for your time.
Now, that was the remarkable Doddy Weir. We did mention it in the interview, but if you want to have a look at the foundation, it's My Name's Doddy. You can also text Doddy to 70970 to donate a fiver, which I suggest, nay, demand that you do. Anyway, moving on. We've got Emerging Young Player of the Year, Afuente Diante, and to put it mildly, I think this guy is a remarkable young man, and I'm pretty sure after listening to this, you'll probably feel the same way. Here you go.
Congratulations on your award. How'd you feel?
Surprised with it, anything. You know, but I mean, happy, very happy, very happy.
So you basically exploded onto the international rugby scene. You'll be well known. You'll be well known by England fans now, because of course your debut was only in the summer.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that now.
Yeah, you know what? Well, you call it, you know, bursting into the scene. You know, for me, you know, it all boils down, you know, to the hard work, you know, that, you know, was behind the scenes. You know, not only on my part, but you know, a lot of people helping me out. You know, coaching staff. You know, guys that gave me a chance, you know, when nobody really wanted to give me a chance, you know, and I'm just at this moment truly grateful and just want to thank those people, you know, that really believed in me and, you know, were willing to give me the chance and were willing to take the gamble with me. You know, I think it's a gamble that paid off.
Definitely.
You know, and, you know, I just hope, you know, from now, you know.
You were saying,
sorry.
Like all the people that have helped, that have helped you along. What good advice did you get in the build up to your first game?
Good advice building up to my first game,
or just good advice
generally?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think building up, you know, to this year, you know, I mean, it's been a big year, you know, undeniably, you know, I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, you know, is to have a very open mind, you know, and I mean, you know, like, in terms of approach, when you approach things, because I think before, you know, if I'd set my sights on something, I mean, it was only that. It was either that or nothing, you know. And as I've grown and as I've learned from, you know, experiences and, you know, from advice, you know, is that you need to be more open-minded. And, you know, being open-minded, you know, you get exposed to other, I mean, opportunities. You know, one of those opportunities was to play rugby again. You know, and having played rugby was to learn, you know, subtle skills, you know, that I've, you know, incorporated in my game and that has helped me be a better player.
So standing here now in a amazing casino in Monaco.
And in an amazing Springbok blazer.
In looking very dapper.
Thank you.
Love the blazer and tie combo.
Thank you.
12 months ago, where were you kind of, where did you watch the Autumn Internationals? Where did you watch the big games?
Actually, I mean, I was talking, I mean, we're having, you know, a big... I always have, I mean, with one of my friends, you know, after a game, especially this year that I've been playing international rugby, you know, I mean, he reminds me of me this time last year, you know,
okay.
Of the way he criticizes, you know, how we play, you know, I mean, I was that guy sitting in a pub or with a few friends at home, you know, enjoying a few beers, you know, watching the game, you know, literally that was me. Like this time last year, I was not enjoying, because I was running, you know, preseason, you know, for the Lions, you know. So, I mean, it was a weekend watching the Springboks, you know. It was great when they won, you know, but, you know, I was the first critic when they lost.
Yeah.
So you play for the Lions. I live up in Manchester, and we are fortunate enough to have a young man play at Sale called Faf de Klerk.
Oh, now, Faffy.
Yes, quite. So we are, we've got a strong South African contingent now. Is there any chance that we can prize you over to the Northwest? Get you playing in Manchester?
Do you like rain?
Lots of rain.
I was actually, talking about, you know, speaking to my friend a lot. You know, I was complaining to him just yesterday about how cold, you know, Northern Hemisphere is. For me, especially in Cardiff and in Edinburgh, it was very cold for me. You know, I've never experienced, you know, such conditions. But, I mean, you never know. But currently, you know, my main focus, you know, is just enjoying, you know, rugby.
Yes, he's coming to the AJ Bell.
No, you were. So it's the end of a long season. There's a lot of people who are in Europe now and are going to go off on holiday. We spoke to Sia Khaleesi earlier. We know he's going to Dubai. What are your plans now?
He's going to Japan.
Japan.
For me, next week, I'm going to London for the Barbarians game.
I mean,
the coolest thing that I'm looking forward to over and above the game, you know, it's going to be a great honor playing, I mean, being part of the Barbarians team, is my parents, you know, for the first time, they're going to be out of the country, coming to London, and they're going to be joining me, you know, that's something that I'm, that I'm looking forward to, you know. It's a thing that's, I planned not necessarily for them to come to Barbarians game or to the Springbok game. It was just, you know, one day to take my parents outside of, you know, South Africa, you know, because my parents have never been outside of South Africa.
Wow.
And, you know, it's an opportunity for them to, you know, experience other things. And I don't think it's a better opportunity for them to experience, you know, Europe than go watching your son. And personally, I think it's just me just bribing them, you know, for the rest of December, you know, because I think I'm going to be heading to our neighbouring country in Mozambique. They've got really nice beaches there.
Beautiful, though, isn't it?
Lovely. And finally, as well as looking great, you smell. Well, it's weird, but what do you wear? What are you wearing? Because it smells great.
Aqua di Parma.
There we go. We've got a recommendation. Go.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I hope Mr. and Mrs. Deante enjoy their trip. There you go. Hear me now, believe me later. I did warn you that he was rather cool, and I was right. So, anyone need a doctor? Good. Here's Jamie Roberts. Delighted. Absolutely delighted, because I think I've found the most popular man in the entire room. We've tried to get you from one side of the hall to the next. You've been accosted by Chairman of World Rugby, the Irish team, but we've got him. It's Jamie Roberts.
You probably all hate me. Definitely. It's good to be here. Obviously, the weather's pretty average. It's a bit like Wales, isn't it?
Not to make the whole podcast about weather. We must have done a solid 10 already about rain. But this weekend, we've been Marseille, Rome, here. It's just tipped down.
Global warming.
Exactly, mate.
Yeah. So, obviously, the fire will still be raging inside, I'm sure, to get back on that international stage yourself. Does that make it hard to watch Autumn Internationals, Jamie?
No, it's, you say hard, it's probably not the right word. inspiring is probably the right word. I think you kind of watch it and go, right, that's the level at which I need to be playing at to get back in the squad. So that's it's not hard. I'm a massive Welsh rugby fan, always have been, and even when you're not involved, it's, yes, it's difficult, but it's been great to watch the lads the last 4 weeks. I think they've, you know, been a testament to the country, really. They've done a fantastic job, and those results against Australia and South Africa, I think when you look down the years and when Gats has been in charge, they're games which, when they come down to the wire, we've probably lost. And I think there's a confidence and belief within that group now, which, and, you know, ability more than anything, where we can go and win those games. So it's been great to watch, very inspiring, and as I said, on a personal level, it's something which I aspire to, really.
Do you have conversations about such that, you know, how often do you and Warren Gatland talk about things?
Yeah, no, we've had a chat at the start of the season, and the door's still open, so just, yeah, he's talking on the pitch, mate. It's as simple as that. You can dress it up all you want, but you know, all I can control is going out and playing as well as I can. The selection's out of hand.
Now, one of the things I've really enjoyed about your career is the places that you end up. So Paris, great town.
Yep.
London, pretty good.
World, yeah.
And now in Bath.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying that?
Good. It's a different place of life, I think, to London. London's pretty traumatic. It's stressful. Stressful's the word. It's just relentless, isn't it? So you can escape. If you get to, like, the areas in the southwest, maybe Richmond or Barnes and stuff, you can actually escape to a bit and feel like you're somewhat in the countryside. But Bath is a completely different pace of life, which has taken some adjusting. But my partner's moved down with me, got a little puppy now.
Oh, nice.
Which is awesome. But in really enjoying it. It's a bit close to home, and London's, what, an hour and a half on the train. So, you know, when I do miss London, it's easy to dip in and out of.
Well, you're in Monte Carlo now. Who have you had a little bit of a chat with? Who's it been good to catch up with?
No, been good to catch up with I'm in the International Rugby Players Association group, so we've had a meeting today, just discussing issues within the game, and there'll be a meeting with World Rugby tomorrow. So, yeah, just as a group of players discussing various things within the game, the season structure, you know, health and things, you know, about player welfare, that are, you know, big challenges in the game, you know, today. So it's good to be on that group, you know, bashing our heads together and hopefully coming up with some solutions to the problems.
Have you got strong ideas about the potential solutions?
I suppose it's not about personal ideas, but it's about, you know, making decisions that are in the best interest of the players across all the countries in World Rugby, and that's not just, you know, we talk about Tier 1 and Tier 2 nations, you know, it's about making rugby a global as game as possible, and, you know, getting Tier 2 teams up competing with the top nations. How fantastic would that be for the world population who love
rugby? Completely agree.
You know, to see a really truly global competitive game, certainly at test level. So that's the challenge. How you go about getting there is another challenge altogether, and that's something World Rugby is striving to do.
You are Dr. Jamie Roberts.
Yep.
Do you ever intend on becoming a doctor? Or
I'm not sure yet.
Do you think your career is going to go elsewhere?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I graduated over 5 years ago now, so probably forgotten most of it.
It's a nice...
Especially the pops that take into my head. But I don't play rugby. You know, I've been very fortunate that I could have done that in my playing career, and I'm going to play rugby now. Really enjoy these, I say, last few years. Hopefully I've got more than a few years left in me, and just really enjoy them. And then what happens after, I'll cross the bridge when we get to it.
Have you ever used the phrase, trust me, I'm a doctor?
Never.
What? All that I'd be doing.
Maybe when I was single. I've never used it, no.
One of the things I've noticed, you know, from the outside, from a fan's perspective, is after a game, and it happened again with Owen Farrell yesterday, the amount of, in this new social media landscape we're in, there's a lot of outrage, a lot of people raging. As a player, does that ever get under your skin?
Look, I watched that game yesterday, and personally I thought that was a penalty try and yellow card.
Yeah.
But then you'll ask another player and it'll be like, no, that was fine. So it's ultimately only one person's decision counts, and that's the referee, and that's always been the case. And as a game, we always uphold, you know, those values of respect for the officials.
What's it like if you're at the centre of a little storm that's raging on Twitter, for example, though?
Is that... You should split your toe.
Yeah.
Twitter is a forum for everyone to give their opinion and write yourself.
Much wiser man than the three of us,
yeah,
I've got to say.
Yeah, but I think as a player, you know, you bite your tongue, you can't give your opinion on everything, and, you know, you do the wise thing. But yeah, that's what the game's about. The sport's about opinion. Yeah. It's about, you know, making debate, and ultimately it grows the game. As weird as that sounds, but
it does.
We just want consistency. I think as players, you want consistency. It's just consistency in decisions. And you know, when I saw that incident yesterday, I was like, straight off my head, I was like, right, that's a penalty try you look at. And all of a sudden, it's only a penalty. Whereas, you know, half the other rugby playing population might think, okay, that's only a penalty. So there we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so well, get back in there.
Thank you, Jamie.
Enjoy yourself. Pleasure. Enjoy your night.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How nice to spend an evening in Monaco chatting to Jamie Roberts. And then it got a bit better because we ran into CJ Stander, which wasn't even half as painful as I expected running to CJ Stander would be. In fact, it was delightful. Here he is.
Right, well, I'm absolutely delighted because I'm joined by CJ Stander. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, man. Thank you very much. It looks like a good evening and had a good few weeks, so yeah, it's going good.
How are you finding Monaco? What are your first impressions?
Oh, man, it looks it's absolutely class. We didn't have a lot of time to walk around, but just driving down the bus, it looks absolutely unbelievable.
And bus? Surely Ferrari.
I thought Ireland had a team yacht now, no?
Oh, man, I saw on the way in, we saw Bentleys. I like my cars, and I saw the R8, Audi R8, and I saw Ferrari, and then I saw Fiat Punto. I was like, this guy surely lost. He's not allowed to drive here, but
banned.
Yeah. He banned, exactly.
And how's the body after a tough autumn?
Yeah, good. I was 24th man this week, and I was just back in the squad and helping the lads prepare for the USA, and it was a good experience again, you know, to learn how people react to certain situations and how they get themselves ready for a game.
How long did the partying go on last week? You must have had a good time. You've got to enjoy days like that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Look, it was great. I think we went back to the Shelburne, but we still had a training on Sunday evening just to get together with Joe Smith, you know, so you want to be on top of your game, and we had a good few pints, you know, into the wee hours, you know.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the Ireland team comes from, you know, mostly two of the club sides. How tight are you as a group of players?
I think firstly, when you play for your club, you absolutely hate each other, you know, when you play against each other. But if you come back into that Ireland shirt, you know, it's a place that's it's a special jersey and a special place. We all know what it takes to be there and what's needed from you in the game. So when we get together, we're a band of brothers, you know, and we know we have a goal in mind for every campaign, and we know we're going to have to perform because we're quite honest with each other and we want the best from each other every day, every game.
Yeah.
Now, we had Sia Cleese on earlier on, and we asked him, who did he want to catch up with? And he immediately said, CJ Stander.
What a good man. I was thinking now back in 2010 in the Under-20 World Cup. He was playing with me, and we had some great times together. Top man, always have a smile, and always has a good word to say about. Even if he has a good word to say about me, he's always got a good word. You know? great player, and I saw him on the plane. We fetched him in Cardiff, and it was just great to see him again, you know, and could see that familiar face. I mean, we played together against schools as well, you know, and. It's a great night for this because you don't get this rarely to catch up after we played the Springboks in 2 years ago. We didn't really catch up, so it's good to have a few beers now tonight.
Well, I tell you what, after the autumn, amazing rugby it's been. The Ireland-New Zealand win was a big highlight, but I'm so excited about the first round of the Six Nations already. That's what do you make of England? What you've seen of them?
I've seen them. Look, yeah, we've watched their games closely now, I think, because we know that's going to be our next game. It's been interesting autumn for them as well. They've played some unbelievable games, and I think they're a different team since we played them last. They're playing out of their skins, and they're performing for their jersey, and they're playing the way they can, you know. So it's good to see that.
Just finally, I think your story is really, really interesting. The fact you came over to Ireland, you backed yourself. Does it feel a little bit surreal coming to Monaco after this entire journey to be at the Rugby Awards?
And potentially winning the Try of the Year as well.
Yeah, man, it's...
In this team too.
Yeah, look, it's talking to my wife. She can't fortunately not be here. But if I think back about my story now, if things worked out differently, I would probably be in the farm now. Probably just finishing the shift on the dairy farm, you know. So it's been a great few years. A lot of people gave me a few chances and a bit of luck on my side, and a lot of people around me supported me, and it's been great, and I'm looking forward to what's in the future. And it just shows you again, rugby is an unbelievable sport. It brings people together, and it pushes people out of their comfort zone.
Well said.
Beautiful.
Right, well, we'll leave you to enjoy the rest of your night.
Cheers, lads.
Well, there he is. Ireland's ball carrier-in-chief, CJ Stander, which was pretty nice. Anyway, now we move on. We were speaking to McKay the Blythe, and I don't mind saying, this is a very, very cool interview.
We've got the finest sevens player on earth come to join us. Congratulations, the freshly minted sevens player of the year, Michaela Blythe. How are you doing? How are you feeling after that?
Very surprised, extremely shocked, but first of all, that title next to the name is just myself. I mean, I don't know about the finest sevens player in the world.
Wow.
But no, in all honesty, I couldn't do what I do without my teammates and the management that I have around me, so it's full credit to them.
Mm. Now, before you came over, we were having a discussion. Me and Tim think very, very differently. So Tim thinks that he would put his award somewhere safe. I think I would basically take it with me everywhere. What are you going to do?
This will go straight to my parents' house, who are Taranaki, a very proud Naki girl right here. This will go alongside my trophy from last year as well. They have a little table that they set my trophies on, and it shouldn't really sit in my house because I'm barely there.
You're not there, yeah. Yeah.
I'm always away, they'll look after it quite nicely for me.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good point, because all of our Southern Hemisphere friends that are here today, they're mostly on holidays now. You're actually just about to start your season.
Yeah, absolutely. We're about to go and play in Dubai this Thursday, so make sure you're watching out there. We've just gone into our season, which is really exciting. We've obviously come off a first win in Colorado, which is a good start for us for the World Series. So hopefully we can bring that momentum into Dubai. We do get a little two-week leave break over the Christmas New Year period, but it's technically not leave because we still got to train every day.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We love our job and we love what we do, so we're more than happy to go and do that.
Excellent. Out of interest, the best place to play sevens is?
They're all amazing in their own way, but I must say Dubai is amazing. Dubai is one of the only countries that has stuck by the Women's Series for sevens. So since, I think, 2012, we've always had a tournament in Dubai. So we're very grateful for them for what they do for us. And we've been staying in Abu Dhabi for the last week, and the facilities they have there is amazing, and how they look after us we're very grateful for. So Dubai would have to be one of my favourites.
Awesome.
And it's been a big year for sevens, hasn't it, with the, San Francisco. How do you look back at that spectacle? Because there were so many eyes being introduced to the game that have never seen it before.
Yeah, absolutely. The World Cup was amazing for us. We had quite a lot of girls that had never played at a Sevens World Cup before. We only had, I think, maybe four girls who were at the 2013 World Cup. So to have a new team to be able to experience that sort of pinnacle event was quite cool. To be able to play at San Francisco at AT&T Park was an awesome opportunity. Gossie said it before in her interview, and to play in an amazing stadium like that was once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. To get that win over France in the final was cool. It was a great way to end our season, because we did have a good season despite the fact that we only came second in the World Series that year, which was disappointing for us. It's not what we wanted, but we shot ourselves in the foot by coming fifth and second in the first two tournaments, so we had to chase Australia. But we're really happy with how we went that year.
Now, professional sport is always a serious business, but with the Olympics, does that give it an extra edge?
Fingers crossed I will be an Olympian. I'll have to make the team first.
And qualify.
Exactly. We've still got to qualify, which we'll do, hopefully, this series when we come in the top four in the series. But for me, the Olympics is definitely a number one goal. I was travelling reserve at the Rio Olympics, so I had to watch every game on the sideline. Oh. It wasn't nice. No athlete trains for 4 years and moves away from home to be a travelling reserve. So for me, you know, I'm putting a lot of my dedication into that number one goal. It's still a wee while away. It will creep up very fast.
Yeah.
But for us, we've still got to qualify first. That's our main focus right now.
That, I'm in now. Right. Before we let you go, I've got to ask then, the athlete's village. Are all the stories true at the Olympic Games? It sounds like it's amazing fun. There's McDonald's 24/7, free everything, help yourself, everyone partying when they finish their awards. It sounds like an amazing place.
So
I mean, obviously it's a serious business, like you say, but what's wrong with that?
It's a party when you finish, but here's the stink part. As a travelling reserve, couldn't stay in there. So,
No, I know.
Real sucky. But I was staying in apartments about 400 metres down the road from the village. So you could see through our window the partying and everything going on. It was cool, yeah, whatever. We got to go in there every now and then. And yes, there is free McDonald's 24/7. That is a true story.
And there's people, lots of people loving life.
A lot of people. It's literally like a village in itself. Like, it's just a whole new world. And Rio, they did really well. You know, being the first time in Brazil, the village was different. It probably was not what many athletes expected. And unfortunately, we were also unable to experience the athlete's village at the Com Games because apparently all of us were contaminated from the mumps. Thank you, Ruby Tui. So we weren't able to experience that either. But we got looked after really, really well at the Olympics and the Com Games as well.
Wow.
But definitely Tokyo. We'll definitely be looking forward to that.
Tokyo it is.
And you, we know that's going to be amazing.
You might have missed out on the glory then, but look at you now. Congratulations again. Thanks for your time.
Basically, I definitely need to start watching more sevens. Okay, our last interview of the night, best referee in the world, Angus Gardner. So, by the way, a discussion with a referee which does not involve a single reference to a certain England number 10 and their inability to tackle within the realms of the law or something like that. So don't worry, it's not in there. Here he is, Angus Gardner.
Right.
World's best ref. There is.
How's that feel? That tag sitting right around your shoulders?
Mate, there's plenty of other good referees out there. I would never take that personally. No, it is a massive honour to receive the award. And, I mean, as a referee, we're privileged to have the best seat in the house, really, in some of the most amazing stadiums with the best players in the world. So,
Sorry, Phil. Now, you say the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
We watched you ref in Marseille on Friday. That did not look like a very comfortable seat in that rain.
It was a wet seat, but it was still a seat. And, you think about that game and, I did England-South Africa 4 weeks prior and, two different games in themselves. But I've got to say the Kenya-Germany was probably one of the most enjoyable games I've ever refereed.
Really? Why?
Two teams... obviously out of the qualification, so it was a bit of a dead rubber. But both teams just came with passion and spirit that I think really reminded me why I referee, and that's to service the game. And these guys, you know, for them it's massive. They're playing for their country, and it doesn't matter whether it's Kenya or Germany or England Ireland. Like, it's still a massive honour. And, you know, for me, just to see that in the way they went about the game was amazing.
I'm glad you said that because I actually felt exactly the same way.
Yeah.
I thought it was a brilliant game.
Yeah, it was
great for us. We were privileged to go and watch it.
Yeah.
Superb. Question from me.
Yeah.
So now you've got to kind of the end of a autumn international period, a window. Is there kind of a wrap-up from referees where you come together, look at some of the decisions, some of the processes and say, right, this worked well, hasn't worked particularly well?
Yeah, I mean, typically with World Rugby, we meet in June before the start of the June window, and also at the start of the November window to work on our calibration across all our referees. So we spend a lot of time probably at the start of the window working through that, and then obviously for the Northern Hemisphere boys, they're straight back into European rugby and premiership and all that type of stuff. Whereas for us, we've kind of got a bit of a break before we head back into Super Rugby. So,
and what have you got planned for your break?
Mate, beach and barbecue. Very much looking forward to it. Back home in Sydney where it's 37 degrees. So, yeah.
Now, you've reffed some of the best, well, the best players in the world. Coming through the ranks, this is the thing which I always wonder about refs. Have you ever been aware of falling for players' tricks? Do you like the way that captains try and talk to you? They're trying to butter you up before asking, you know, how's wife and kids and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's all those gamesmanships that go on, and I think you're right. That's probably the test of a true captain is how far he can push you.
Yeah.
In a way that kind of doesn't overstep the mark. So yeah, there's been quite a few, very clever captains, I think, along the way is probably.
Angus, do you avoid social media? Because I think, it's great that there is an award for referees and that you're able to be celebrated tonight. But actually, very little of that happens generally. But everybody wants to have a say if there's anything that goes wrong. How's that to deal with that in this social media age we're in?
Yeah, look, it's very difficult. I mean, for us, I'm now kind of not on social media now. I probably was when I started refereeing career, but I think as you go along and you do some higher profile games, it's just not worth it. So no is the answer. I'm kind of backing out of social media now because I just think for every compliment you might get, there'll be another two or three that aren't as complimentary. So I just think we're never going to please everyone as referees, and the game is not black and white. And, as I said before in my acceptance speech, it depends on who, you know, which team's playing and what the result is in terms of, I think, how you perceive sometimes.
Do you have any, as you're coming through, I know players will say, oh, I remember watching this person or this person. Were you more focused on playing when you were younger? Or when you switched on to the idea of refereeing, did you have like an idol?
Yeah, I mean, coming through as a referee, I kind of, there was an Australian referee, Andrew Cole, who was an ex-international referee, who then coached me. And then Steve Walsh at the back end of his career where he came and became an Australian referee, so to speak. And I think Walshy was great because he really took me under his wing and he really mentored me. And as a young kind of bloke trying to make that the pinnacle, the tier one game, to have someone of his experience was amazing.
Great hair as well.
Yeah, love the hair.
Amazing hair.
Yeah.
Amazing hair.
Love the hair, the dress, everything.
The tattoo as well, which we've heard about but never seen. Angus, congratulations. And,
yeah, well,
thanks
well done, well deserved.
Thanks very much. Awesome. Cheers. Thanks,
cheers.
There you go. That's all you're getting. So, there. Thank you for listening. Sorry that Phil and Tim were doing their day jobs and not able to come into the studio. Sorry we lost a whole podcast from Monaco. Also sorry that we actually also lost an interview with Sia Khaleesi. That's right. The South African Test match captain gave us an interview and then we lost it because we are professionals. So good work all round. Massive, massive thanks on a serious note to World Rugby who put on the event and treated us so well. It was a tremendous, tremendous event. And dovetailing it with the reportage, which everyone should pay attention to next time it's on. Well, thank you very much. In the meantime, we'll be back with another podcast in our usual slot on Sundays. Hopefully some more tour stories, hopefully less of a hangover. And if you want to get in touch, well, you can, because you know where to go, don't you? Because we are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we're on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, you know the drill. Let the boys play, see you soon. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.